Hi there, my name is Sue Nelson and you're listening to the GTA Tech Talk Show. GTA, of course, which you'll all know by now stands for Global Tech Advocates. And who should lead Global Tech Advocates but my fellow presenter, Russ Shaw.
Hi, Sue.
Hello. We're joined by somebody we're very familiar with, aren't we?
We are. Over there. Yes.
Sarah Luxford.
Hello, Sarah Luxford.
The amazing Sarah Luxford.
The brilliant Sarah Luxford,
who wanted to be described as Sarah Luxford Limited, but we're not going to do that because you're Sarah Luxford of the Tech London Advocates Women in Tech Group, aren't you?
I am indeed. Yes, thank you very much for that. Yes, good afternoon, everybody.
And as far as Tech London Advocates are concerned, I would say probably the largest... For sure. Probably one of the most successful working groups that you have, Russ.
It is the largest working group that we have and the most successful, not only within TLA, but Global Tech Advocates. So Sarah is the model.
You are a model, Sarah, apparently.
It's an amazing group.
Sorry we're not on YouTube, chaps, but she's a model.
Its own website, its own events. It's fantastic.
And how many members have you got now, roughly?
Just under 3,000 at the last count.
That's astounding.
It's incredible.
Isn't it? Astounding.
It is great.
When did you start it? You just started off for a bit of a giggle, didn't you? And now what's happened?
Oh, a giggle. Yeah, I wish it was. No, it was something that was really serious and something that's very much close to my heart. It was about being able to help educate and inspire others to get more women into technology as a whole. My day job as a headhunter, I really saw that there weren't enough women in senior positions. And I was scratching my head thinking, where are you?
Yeah, where are you?
Yeah.
And how long now has it been going?
Just over six.
6 years.
Yeah, about 6 years. You were the third working group to launch after we launched Tech London Advocates. And actually, we now have, due to Sarah's leadership, we also have Tech Bay Area Advocates Women in Tech.
Fantastic.
That Lani's launched. And you were in Madrid at the Tech Spain Advocates annual event. And I know this was a... Muy bien.
And you know why, don't you? Because did you know this, that she did a degree in Spanish, didn't you?
I do.
Didn't you?
I did.
And what else? Spanish and something. And you actually lived over there for a while, didn't you?
I did.
Hablas español.
Sí, claro que sí. I lived in Granada.
A beautiful, multicultural,
vibrant city. I definitely recommend it to everybody.
So anytime there's an event and it's in Spain, you find an excuse to go, basically, don't you?
You bet.
So, Russ, we've also got other guests at the programme today, which we'll go on to in a minute.
Yes.
Could you just explain a little bit about Global Tech Advocates and this very, very exciting event? Are you speaking there, Sarah?
I will be.
Yes. I'll
be
another speaker. Great. So you'll definitely be there on the 20th of November, which is in a few days' time.
Yes.
Just tell us a little bit about the event.
The event. It's called The Road to 1 Million, and it is being hosted by City of London Corporation in the beautiful Egyptian Hall at Mansion House. So we're very excited about that. And the focus is how can we, from the private sector, create 1 million digital and tech jobs by 2023. The number today is about 350,000 per the Tech Nation report. So we have a challenge to create one new digital and tech job every 3 minutes if we're going to reach that number.
Well, that's easy then.
Yeah, very easy.
Yes, very easy. Now, in our previous podcast, we've been talking about how we get young people in as part of the drive for those numbers.
Yes.
We've been talking about immigration because, you know, we really do feel we can't just do it, from our own base.
Yep.
There's going to be a combination of those two things. And we've been talking about digital infrastructure. If we don't get some of that sorted, then we're not going anywhere anyway. So this is our fourth sort of thread, isn't it?
It is.
And that's about how do we get people who aren't currently into tech because they're underrepresented?
Yes. So the whole focus on diversity and inclusivity is a key part of what we're driving. And Sarah and the great work that she's doing, you know, we've had Mark Martin from UK Black Tech here earlier to talk about these things. This has got to be a key part of what we're doing. So we often hear tech businesses say, oh, there's a shortage of talent, I can't recruit for this, I can't recruit for that. And we're trying to turn this on its head and say, hey, wait a minute, there is a great pool of talent out there. You have to look for it, you have to tap into new recruitment pools. And the focus for me is on women in tech. Why? Because the tech sector is 80% white men, and we have got to change that if we're going to be a world-leading technology hub.
Yes, well, I couldn't agree more. Sitting here as a girly. My other guest is, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, I'm sure, Tamsin Anastasi Parch. Have I got that right,
yeah,
Tamsin?
That's right.
Ah,
fantastic.
Excellent.
Most people don't get it right.
And you are working with Sarah on the Women in Tech group for TLA.
I am. Yes, I'm a member.
But you have a day job as well.
I do have a day job. I'm Global Head of Operational Change for the Economist Group.
Of course you are. Now, taking Russ's point, the problem with there being this sort of bias towards male and white, mm-hmm. much as we love chaps,
of course,
the problem is that then you're approaching tech from just one angle, and it may be that you're designing stuff from the ground up, not considering other sectors of the population, or you know, you're not even addressing some of the issues, you know, and looking for digital solutions in areas which might be affected by those groups which aren't affected by you. So this isn't a male versus female debate, is it? It's about
not
diversity in its truest sense, because we need tech for good, we need tech for health, we need tech for all sorts of things, and we're not going to get those solutions unless we've got a really broad cohort of people who can contribute to that.
That's absolutely true, and I mean there's plenty of examples out there, Apple Health being one of them, where 50% of the population weren't represented on the health app. And I think the core thing there about diversity is not, it definitely isn't men versus women, and the diversity for me is about everybody, every nationality, every background, social backgrounds as well, really important. But the core thing is, if we all have this great ideal that we're going to change the world, and if we're going to, we have to consider the whole population, not just, I mean, if we're talking white men, what, 30% of it?
Shrinking.
Sarah, I know you've been working this for a long, long time, and also particularly in a business sense. I remember in the early days you spending ages making a case to say, a business case, that if you have a diverse workforce, you will turn in a greater profit, you'll be more sustainable. There's been all sorts of, you know, economic and financial arguments. You're not having to make that case anymore, because everybody sort of gets that, and you cannot possibly disagree with the fact that unless you've got a diverse workforce, you know, you're going to be a better business all round, particularly financially and more profitable. We don't really have to win that argument anymore. So why is it still a struggle?
It's really hard. It's, there are actually some, you know, there are some quick fix solutions that you can provide, but actually this is about culture change, which takes time. We're finding that a lot of CEOs and vice presidents and management, whilst they're behind it, they often then pass the baton over to HR or over to line managers, and they don't actually take up the stance themselves and get behind strong initiatives. They treat a lot of issues as just tick box exercises, and it's about just getting behind so they can put their name behind something or their brand behind something, but they're not prepared to go the extra mile in order to actually put the effort, time and broader change management.
So that's a very strong statement.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is, I do sign up to it, but as long as I don't have to do it, I'll give it to somebody else. And then because that person's not the boss or doesn't have an influence, it gets relegated and just gets shoved down the line.
Yes, I am saying that.
And are you saying, though, that people at the top... I know we're generalising. Are you saying, though, that people at the top actually couldn't give a stuff, or they do, but are just not prepared to put any effort into it?
So I challenge. So my challenge on this is that if you look at the gender pay gap exercise that was created by the government, and we have the potential fees put in place if you don't actually submit your data. Where's the action? There has been no action around this. There has been no follow-up. So, of course, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I'm getting to a point where the awareness piece, yes, it's there, but if the action isn't taken, then how on earth are we going to change anything? We have a playbook within TLA Women in Tech, which we are trying to help promote and support. But I have to say, in 2019, if companies and CEOs don't get it yet, then actually we're just going to be turning inward and working with the advocates in our network, yeah, who are behind this and helping to support them.
And I think we need to be more proactive, not only in terms of there are examples of people leading from the top to try and drive this change, and we should be
of
promoting
course,
them and
yep.
celebrating them. But there are a lot of people, to Sarah's point, who are not. So let's name and shame them. So let's kind of put them out there and say, you haven't done anything. You talk a good talk, but where are your actions to deliver? And that's
can you call that gender washing? Because you used to say greenwashing when somebody pretended they were doing environmental stuff. They would just call that gender washing. Is that what they're doing? They're pretending, but they're not actually doing it.
There's a lot of them, unfortunately, that are behind this. There are a few good case examples in play.
Yes.
And actually, I think it's particularly difficult for the larger organisations and the corporates to be able to completely turn back and look at recreating or establishing a new type of culture that embraces inclusion. Where we're going to have more effect now moving forwards is with the startups and the scale-ups.
Yes.
To be able to implement structures and processes and actions in place so that it's embedded from day one.
Yes.
So the gender pay gap thing, I mean, I don't think it's a particularly good measure myself, but we need something. So we had the gender pay gap. So there's some companies who published what they're doing, you know, under huge pressure and got pilloried for it, actually, in the press. But what about the ones who didn't do it then? Are you saying that actually, they made a really good decision because nobody's taken them to task on it anyway and they got away with it?
Well, it's not about just taking task with others. I think there should be consequences, yes, because otherwise we're never going to get anywhere, as I've said. But it's also an opportunity for them as a company, as a founder, as an individual, understanding where they want to go with their company and how they want to operate. If they're not taking the action for themselves, well, why did they create the company in the first place? I just don't get it.
And you did a great thing earlier this year. You held a number of TLA Women in Tech workshops where you actually introduced some case studies. And we looked at, and Sarah passed around different examples of how companies were talking about this.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just such an eye-opener in terms of, you know, what companies were showcasing and all the glossy language. But the reality was, when you really looked at their numbers, they were pretty crap. And so...
You don't have to say that on the radio, Ross.
Well, you know, I was going to say something worse.
Yeah.
But you don't want this to be a PR exercise where everybody's glossing over this and saying, oh, we're doing this, we're doing that, and they're not moving the numbers. I do think this reporting is a good thing because it's at least a first step and benchmark. And I really hope when we do this again in another several months, you know, who's moved the needle and who hasn't? And again, let's celebrate those that have moved the needle and understand what did they do? What did they put in place to start making this shift and change and really embrace them? And for those that didn't, you know, name and shame them if they're saying, oh, you're talking all of this wonderful stuff, but you didn't do anything. You didn't move the needle. Why not?
So Tamsin, if you're in a business and you, I don't know, don't think this is important, for me, there's a huge amount of untapped talent already inside those businesses. And actually, if you don't change the culture, you're missing out, I think, on amazing input or ideas or, you know, anything really. And therefore, you're missing out on that value. So it's not just about recruiting people, is it? It's about understanding the culture inside what you have already.
I would agree with that. I think there's a number of tactics, and I would actually argue a little bit that some companies don't actually have the tactics. I know they're available and we have the sort of handbook, but they don't really know what to do. They know there's a problem and they're sort of all sitting there going, but what do we do? And there's a lot about recruitment, but I think there's also about identifying the skill sets that you have internally and looking at things. It sort of taps in with the new trend of agile business and cross-functional teams. There's an opportunity there to look at something that traditionally has maybe been a wholly IT project and say, well, what if we introduce somebody, it's not their day job, just get them to come to a couple of steering meetings, give some opinions, and sort of mix it up a bit, or look at a project and say, rather than it being given to one side of a business that traditionally would have always delivered projects, why not backfill somebody else and allow them the opportunity? It's great for an individual's career and it's good for the business because you start to learn more, particularly businesses that may have silos within them. You know, there's that opportunity to mix things up. They start to understand what the problems are and problems that usually are faced in multiple different areas, but nobody realizes because they're not talking to each other.
But Sarah, I know this is about diversity across the whole piece, but if we just took about women just for now, women can be their own worst enemy though. You know, if you've got a bit of a thrusting, you know, sort of competitive culture or you know, some sort of team that's been put together to deliver a project, women don't always lean forward. Oh, I'm not going to say lean in because it's not my favourite book of all time, but you know, just lean forward and make themselves heard. Do you think they sort of sit back a little bit?
It's fascinating in my day job as a headhunter for global resourcing, seeing that the amount of incredible women, and I have the honour to get to meet and support, the incredible experiences that they've done. And it's just about being able to brand yourself and be able to ensure that you understand where your strengths lie compared to others. I genuinely believe that a lot of gents have had access to stronger networks and been part of that kind of old boys school club where people have been able to help people up the ladder very quickly. And I think there is time for a bit of support for other women out there in order to say, actually, that's fine. You know, come along to the TLA Women in Tech events, come along to our groups, because there you're going to be greeted by individuals where it's a safe environment, it's a trusted environment, it's an inspirational environment, and we're going to be able to help and support each other.
And I think men have a big role to play here in terms of working with women, getting actively involved, listening, mentoring. You know, men have to be part of this journey to make this change happen. And you know, some of the things that I try and do is, you know, obviously support women and talk to many women, but also talk to men and say, look, you know, you've got a responsibility here. You need to step up, you know, get involved. You know, even if it's just, to Sarah's point, listening to somebody, understanding more about their journey and how challenging it can be in an environment that, you know, men have dominated for centuries.
Do you think it's generational? Is it the old blokes? I'm looking at you because you're the same age as me. I'm heading up towards retirement. Do you think it's generational? Seriously, and I know that's a.
I think that's part of it, but I'm sorry. I see even in younger people the same patterns being repeated. So I would not just put it on a generational thing. Maybe, you know, from generation to generation, it's steadily moving in the right direction, but way too slowly. And I do think the patterns get repeated. So, no, I don't think that's part of it. I think there's a broader fundamental rethink that needs to happen. And men need to really push themselves. And women need to also push men to say, help us with this. Make this change with us. Otherwise, we're going to be here in another 5 or 10 or 15 years. And the numbers may have moved slightly.
You see, actually, I think I'm to blame.
Why?
Because I go to business events all the time, and that's part of my job. And as a CEO, if you've got a company, you've got to get out there and network. Otherwise, you're not going to get business. And a lot of the time, I will sit next to an incredibly boring man. I mean, really boring, who will then talk the whole time and not listen. And then, which I find most infuriating of all, tell me exactly how I run my business, because they're obviously, they know more than me, they've got more experience than me, and they just absolutely assume that they know more than I do in terms of business. Now, that actually isn't the problem. The problem is I let them.
Yep.
You see, now, so I think that I have a responsibility to actually say, thank you so much, shut up. No, I wouldn't say that, but you know, or you know, challenge that.
Yes.
And I think women are quite bad at putting their head to one side and indulging that person and letting them do all that stuff, was actually we shouldn't be. And I do think that is part of the problem. And I know that is part mm-hmm. of my problem. We've got to do it from all sides, haven't we, essentially?
Yes, women I do. But women
have got to step up as well. And I don't mean by being rude or anything like that. It's about saying, well, I have those credentials too.
But I think women can be rude. I think women can be disruptive about this. Why not? I mean, you shouldn't have to sit next to somebody like that and listen to that. You know, maybe to your generational point, maybe that was something that was accepted decades ago. But we're in a very different world these days. And I just don't think that is acceptable any longer. And if somebody is, you know, telling you how to run your business, well, I think you just say, see you later. I'm leaving. I don't need to hear this. You know, yeah. I'm a successful businesswoman. So don't beat up on yourself, you know?
You know, Dame Stephanie Shirley, who I tremendously admire, who started her company in the 60s and, you know, did it all herself, frankly, under extremely difficult conditions. She said that successful women have flat heads because you feel like you're being patted on the head all the time. And I still feel like that. I think part of me not doing that is because I've been brought up to be polite. Also, I'm British. So
probably not supposed to do that.
In that instance, wear a spiked helmet because you shouldn't be that. That shouldn't be happening.
That is partly my fault, isn't it? Indulging that.
But in the spirit of challenging that, what you're talking about is a social situation where, yes, somebody could walk away and maybe you lose a bit of social currency, but that's fine. But in many situations, women find themselves, it's their boss that's doing that, or their manager, or somebody senior that doesn't listen or rephrases during a meeting.
Yes.
Exactly what you've just said, just says it again, which is my favourite bugbear. So one thing that I think is really important and is about women supporting each other in terms of those environments and repeating things, you know, as this person said, as was already said, or calling things out. Because if you do it in a group, you feel safer.
Yes.
Doing it as an individual, and I've sat in on so many meetings where I'm the only woman in the room, and I'm lucky that I was brought up to be opinionated and I was given a lot of support in my childhood. It must have been that I matter. And so I will happily sit there and argue. But lots of people can't.
Yes.
And
okay.
It's my responsibility, I feel, to be able to support them and to sort of clear that way. And I think that's what every woman, particularly if you have been privileged enough to get to a position where you have a voice, you need to be able to look behind you and go, okay, well, you know, I'm not saying discriminately hire women. I don't agree with that. But it is about making sure, do you have a diverse group of candidates? It's about making sure, are your job adverts, and Sarah's the expert in this, written with a male sort of bent to things? And even and another sort of big area that I believe in, the concept of women in tech tends to be, oh, all women must be developers. And, you know, it takes a lot more to develop any kind of technology. You need project managers. Yes. Women are naturally
designers.
Very good,
great point.
Of course.
Great point.
Designers, business analysts. I mean, when you think about, and going back to what you just mentioned, sort of the first women were, the first programmers were women, because it's a sort of a detailed thing. You spend time on things. It's a problem. And actually, problem solving is a really nice challenge. You sort of work within yourself. So a lot of these things, I think it's so important to ensure that people understand you don't have to have gone to university to learn to code. Mm. And I didn't. I don't have a tech background.
I think those points are incredibly well made. I guess one question I would have for you is, how can men help on this journey? What should their role be? Because, you know, if women are just working with women, you know, are you going to really advance it?
Exactly the same thing. Okay. You need to, if you see a male colleague, if you're a man, you see a male colleague repeating things, stop them.
Okay.
Actually repeat sort of, you know, say, well, this person said something.
Yes.
I was going to say, Russ, we've done a number of tech talk shows a while ago, and we've had some great guys on. And there was a few, I don't know if you remember, who said that, if they get asked to speak at a conference or a seminar and it's not a balanced thing, they refuse to speak.
Yep.
You know, they as guys refuse to speak.
Yes.
Or they won't do this or they won't do that. Now, I find that incredibly powerful,
mm-hmm.
where somebody says, I'm not coming to speak at this because you clearly haven't got it, you know, diverse. And of course, it's important for a woman to say that. But isn't it great when a man says that as well? And, mm-hmm. I find that very powerful.
Yes.
And we've had some really inspiring guys on the, you know, previous tech talk shows.
Yes.
Who were saying, I want diversity. And therefore, I have a role to play in that
as
well.
Yep, exactly. No, I completely agree. And I think, you know, the more men can do those types of things, with the events that we have, with the Road to 1 Million, you know, we strive to have at least 50-50 in terms of gender mix. Mm. And, you know, sometimes it's not always easy in terms of, you know, you want somebody from this area, that area. But I feel very passionately that, you know, I can't do an event unless we have that 50-50 mix.
Well, that's good, because there's three women in the studio and just you at the moment.
I know. I'm well aware of that.
Aren't you lucky? Sarah, just sort of finally, we've got this amazing event happening in a couple of days. I know sometimes you get cross with what you're doing and frustrated. Are you optimistic, though? You know, Please tell me you are.
Yeah, no, I am. But, you know, there's some fantastic man ambassadors out there, in addition to the fact that, you know, we do have all these wonderful actions that we know that they're and ready to be taken. It is going to take time, and but we're seeing inklings of that coming through now with some of the organisations. And I can't wait to see, you know, particularly as we go through some interesting challenges over the next year and a half, as we all come together and collaborate and support each other. I think we're genuinely going to see this this mix is absolutely necessary, and to have the opportunity for more women to come into these digital roles. Because as Tamsin was saying earlier, there are so many opportunities within digital as a whole. And we're looking for good communicators, we're looking for strong leadership skills, we're looking for analytics, we're looking for people who want to solve problems. So there's so much opportunity ahead. And I can't wait for the next year, where we're going to be delivering an incredible program of events and coaching workshops, and really being able to spread the word across the world.
And also Tamsin's point, I think, in that what she's saying is, yes, you need that sort of diverse stuff, not all that's really good. But what we must do is share when people have managed to get it right. Mm. Because as you say, I do think there are a bunch of executives up there who genuinely want to do this, but they just don't know how. Mm. And we must share, you know, across all the sectors when somebody's managed to do that successfully.
Yes, and I would also encourage government, I would encourage corporates, mm-hmm. To put their money where their mouth is. And actually look to invest in some of these larger scale programs. What we find is that a lot of the green roots, green grass initiatives, which are the strongest, in fact, it's very difficult to get them funding in order to really truly affect large scale change. So what can we do to put our heads together to come up with innovation funds or support funds to really tackle this issue?
So if you're a lovely lady out there, and you're thinking that you should be in tech, but you're not quite sure how that works or what you should do, or if you're in the business world and you really just want to understand how you can have a much better and diverse workforce, joining some of those events would be great. And actually becoming a Tech London advocate. If somebody wants to do that, Ross, how can they do that?
Well, there's information on the website. Advocates introduce new advocates. I get people coming in on a daily basis. Drop me an email, connect with me on LinkedIn. I'm sure Sarah would do the same for the TLA Women in Tech group. It's very easy. Anyone can join the community.
And if you are an advocate, you know, you don't have to, you know, there's no payment, there's anything like that. It's all run by volunteers. There's
all volunteer driven, free.
And basically, it allows you to just sit there, you know, and get involved as you want or not. And essentially for me, what happens is I just get a lovely feed of stuff that comes through.
Yes.
And I decide what I want to join in and what
absolutely.
I don't.
And I do encourage anybody who wants to come into the community, do get involved. Get involved with the Women in Tech group. There's many other working groups that you can get involved with. So, you know, don't just always sit there, you know,
Sure. Digest
the information that you're getting, but then turn around and get involved, because that's how you and we collectively will make a difference.
But I do think with the Women in Tech group, because of some of the amazing events you've got, and they're open to all, they're not just female events, are they, by any means?
No, absolutely not.
That there's some really great learnings there. So you should have a look at the Women in Tech, so TLA Women in Tech working group. And look at what amazing events they've got on. Is that right?
Yes, please.
So just to finish off, we've got our Road to 1 Million campaign in a couple of days. It's going to be amazing. No, you can't get a ticket. It's all sold out. Sorry about that.
Sorry.
Sarah's speaking. I'm going to be sitting in the audience, just making sure I try and put her off. but there's going to be an amazing sort of schedule of talks and all sorts of other things, let alone the networking. Russ is going to make sure as much as possible is available online.
Yes.
If you can't attend.
Yes.
Well, you can't attend, basically, you haven't got a ticket. but it's a very important campaign, and really looking forward to it, looking at diversity, inspiring young people, immigration, digital infrastructure. Yeah. We've got to get these million jobs in the next 5 years.
We do. Big task ahead, but we can do it.
You can do it. If anybody can do it, Ross Shaw can do it. Thank you so anytime. So thank you. Just keep going, Ross. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast leading up to the event. This is GTA Tech Talk Show. Thank you, obviously, to fellow presenter Ross Shaw. You're doing an amazing job, Russ, and making a massive impact, I think, in the UK, even though you weren't born here. thank you to our guests. So that is, I'm going to say this wrong again, Tamsin Anastasi Poch, got it right, and Sarah Luxford for joining us. Thank you so much. This podcast, Tech Talk Generally, is available on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and on the podcast app on your phone. If you want to contact us and you want to join in this debate, or you want to understand how to connect with TLA, just go on Twitter, and you can do that via at Tech Talk Show UK, or you can follow Russ and some of the events on at Tech London ADV.
Correct.
Stands for advocates. We're really looking forward to the event, 20th November. I hope you have a good week. Bye.